jackhammer a rip in time part two. The black was a solid wall, thick enough to drown a man. Then, the black tore. It wasn't light that poured through, but a fine, stinging gray static, the sound of a thousand lost radio signals clawing their way home. It felt like being dragged from a deep, frozen river and slammed onto a soft, warm bank. I blinked. The buzz died in my ears, replaced by the scent of melted wax and something home-baked. I was sitting at a table made of worn oak, the air thick and cozy. A kind of warmth that hadn't touched me since I was a kid stealing a dime's worth of heat from a steam grate. A mug of coffee sat by my hand. Steam lazy and white against the dark wood, and a slice of birthday cake on a plate. But the cake didn't matter. The whole damn room could have been burning down, and I wouldn't have noticed. Because there they were. To my left, Jackie Angel. Her hair was dark. Her eyes were shining. And the look she gave me wasn't the kind of look you get from a mark or a witness. It was the look of a lifetime of quiet, true mornings. And across the table, Angela. The soft light caught the clean, honest lines of her face. And her smile, it was the first true thing I'd seen since I was wearing short pants. I looked into her eyes, and the static was gone. The buzzing in my head cleared. It really was them. I didn't know the how or the why, and for the first time in my life, I didn't care to ask. This room, this little apartment. I'd never seen it before, but I'd always been here. My head was suddenly stuffed with a million memories of that old life. The trench coat, the shadows, and the dead ends. But now, it was also full of a million memories of this life. Quiet evenings, shared laughter, and the soft sound of their voices. The two timelines had merged inside my skull, and this one felt right. Was the old life a nightmare I just woke up from? Is this life a dream I'll eventually wake up from? I didn't know, but the fear that it might not last hit me harder than any fist ever had. If the controller said I could change my past, and this was the prize, then I'd take it. I'd take a long drink of that coffee, sit here, and make it last forever. This was the life I should have had. This is the life I deserved. Four days of forever. The coffee stayed warm, the cake was polished off, and the questions stayed quiet. Four days of forever. That's all the time I had to steal from the hourglass of fate. And I spent every second of it counting the blessings. I woke up with Angela beside me. The morning light slicing through the cheap Venetian blinds, painting stripes across her shoulder. No shadows. No neon signs. Just the soft, steady rhythm of a life that wasn't trying to kill me. She smelled like soap and sleep. A dangerous, intoxicating perfume that made the smell of gunpowder seem cheap and empty. I'd reach out and touch her. Just to make sure the warmth wasn't a trick of the light. And she'd murmur something that made me feel like I hadn't spent the last decade drowning in a bottle. The routine was a slow, deliberate killer of the past. I'd pour the milk, kiss Jackie Angel goodbye as she grabbed her school books, watching the way her eyes held the same light as her mother's. No codes, no clues, just a kid chasing a future that looked bright and simple. It felt good. Clean. I was an honest man paying honest bills. And every time she looked at me, the scar tissue around my heart felt a little softer. And the job? Bank manager. The ultimate straitjacket. I wore a tie, polished my shoes, and dealt with mortgages instead of murder. It was a joke, a cosmic gag played by the controller. But the quiet certainty of the vault doors and the friendly nod of the tellers. It was a better kind of static than the one that brought me here. I told myself this was it. This was the life. This time, Jack Hammer won. I deserved this. This was my just dessert served up on a fine china plate. I thought I had cheated the clock. I was wrong. The game never ends. It just changes tables. The fatal withdraw. The clock on the wall of the First National Bank read 2:47 p.m. I had no clue a fatal withdraw was on its way. The fluorescent lights were buzzing, and I was staring down a stack of loan applications thicker than a phone book. A normal day in a stolen life. I was humming some half-forgotten tune when the door slammed open. Not with the friendly chime of a customer, but with the roar of a sawed-off shotgun. Three sets of eyes, masked and mean, cut through the lobby. The scene wasn't slow motion. It was just sharp. The screams were high-pitched and useless. My body, trained by a decade of trenches and alleys, moved before my new, soft brain could argue. I reached under the desk for the silent alarm, a move as natural as breathing. One of the mooks, a big, sloppy amateur with a nervous trigger finger, spotted the movement. He didn't hesitate. The blast hit me like a train car, a deafening thunder that swallowed the whole bank. There was a sound of wet tearing, followed by a heat that spread through my chest like spilled whiskey. I didn't fall, not right away. I staggered back, the life draining out of me faster than a cheap drink. My back slamming against the mahogany veneer of my desk. I watched the lights of the bank blur, turning into halos, then fading into a vast, empty black. It was cold. Too cold. I knew the taste of a fatal wound. It's the bitterest thing a man can ever swallow. My last thought wasn't of Angela or Jackie, but of a sick, twisted rage that this was the price. This perfect life, gone for a few hundred dollars. My just desserts was a copper jacket in the sternum. Then, without static, without a flash of light, without a sound of wind or change, I simply snapped back. The cheap bourbon was still on my desk. The overflowing ashtray was still there. The broken clock on the wall was still stuck at 3. I was back in the smoky tomb of my office. I pushed myself up, chest burning with phantom pain, and roared. It wasn't pain. It was pure, unadulterated fury. The hard line. I pushed up from the desk, the hard line of phantom pain in my chest, a dull, sickening throb. The roar died in my throat, choked by the realization of the cruelty. I was trembling, the rage absolute. If that bastard thinks he can play with me like a cat plays with a mouse, I grated into the silence, my voice catching on the dust and the ash. Ring. One sharp ring. A space. Ring. Ring. A space. The blood went cold in my veins. The sound was an archaic code, a language only heard in nightmares. The timing was perfect. Cold, and utterly calculated. The controller. I snatched the receiver off the hook, my knuckles white against the black plastic. Listen here, you bastard. Jack, 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 the controller's voice cut across mine. A smooth, digital lullaby laced with mockery. What did you expect? You set yourself up as a bank manager? A bank manager? I didn't write that script. You did. And you set yourself up in front of a bank full of money. Without a gun? Are you kidding me? You're Jack Frickin' Hammer, for God's sake. He was right. I was silenced. Stunned. Somehow I knew I wrote as much of that script as he did. The perfect life was the ultimate weakness, a choice I'd subconsciously made to drop my guard. The controller sighed, the sound like static on a deep space broadcast. Jack, you dragged me as much as I tug you. I was in bed. You woke me up to get that out. Sometimes the mechanical star god gets a little ahead of himself. But don't worry, you'll get back there. The warmth returned to his voice, chillingly casual. After all, the only one who knows you're dead is you. No obituary's been written. There hasn't been any funeral. Then the needle dropped. But I thought you should know, Rocco Riccini's brother Dutch whacked your Uncle Frank. The name hit me harder than the shotgun blast. And next time you decide to jump back to the quiet life, choose a safer profession. Now leave me alone. I'm going back to bed. And with that, the line went dead. The silence was heavier than before. I stood there, the dead phone in my hand, staring at the floor. The controller gave me a choice, laid out cleaner than a police report. Jump back into that 4 days of sun and quiet, or stay in the muck and settle a debt. Blood and loyalty are the only currency that spends in this world. And I owed Frank a fortune in both. He was family. He was the anchor before the storm. Yes, I would go back and be a janitor in that bank if that's what it took to see Angela and Jackie Angel again. But not yet. Dutch was breathing the city air, and he had a score to settle. I owed Frank a debt in this world. And I was damn sure going to pay that debt first.